Talk is back. Welcome back, everybody. It's been a long break, a couple of weeks away for the Four Nations. Sammy's wearing the Canada lid. Probably should have done the same. Leafs win. They hold on against the Carolina Hurricanes after a dominant first period. Bobby McMahon takes a penalty. Well, it was a double minor. Rob Brind'Amour does a thing that I've been advocating for always, which is the early pull in that situation. Carolina pulls back, gets it close, and the Leafs survive. How are you feeling after that one, buddy?
Felt a lot like the last Carolina game they played, where they had a dominant start and then went to absolute sleep and almost blew the game. They did blow the game in the last one. If you'll recall, that was the game where I think Nyes, Matthews, and Marner were minus 16 or minus 15 that game. And it felt eerily similar to that in parts of tonight, but I give them credit for jumping all over a fast asleep Carolina Hurricanes team in the first period. They scored four goals. I saw our great friend Ailish tweet out that if you had have bet a Steve's, Kampf, and Holmberg goal parlay, you would have had generational wealth. And you could add to that saying, if you did it in the first period, you would have ruined your whatever sports book you bet on. But excellent start. They jumped on them, and I was impressed with the start. Didn't look like they had any tired legs, but they held on for dear life at the end. It looked like the tired legs set in as the second and third kind of went on.
I was going to say, the second period was kind of like a nothing burger period where Carolina wasn't able to generate too much, but Toronto, where did it go? Like, they had all this energy early in the hockey game.
Yeah.
Guys were flying. I thought that Nylander throughout the game looked pretty sharp. I thought that he and Tavares were Toronto's two best players. It didn't look like Matthews or Marner were carrying too much rust. It was like sort of the other guys that looked like they were tired, that looked a little rusty as the game went on.
Here's what I'll say. We just come off watching some of the greatest hockey. It's like, maybe not rust, brother. Yeah. They may be just not great.
It might have just been bad. So it was funny though, because like you and I,
Mickey Robertson's been looking pretty rusty all year.
Yeah, Max Domi, it's just rust. It's just rust on all.
I'm gonna call Crown Rust Control for the bottom six, bud.
I do want to get into some of those positives in that first period, specifically what we ended up seeing from Steves and a couple of the other guys that did look fresh. But you and I were joking. I had you on my podcast. People can go and listen to it because we had to take it down off of YouTube. We had some camera issues. It sucks. Mm-hmm. So it's there in the J.D. Buggers podcast feed. We did a Canada talk. But you and I were joking about how we were going to get the bends from just really brutal hockey. Mm-hmm. And the first period, I thought we were getting the opposite, where I went, oh, no, this is great. This is super fun. Steve scores his first goal right after Chris Cuthbert goes. He's looking for his first goal. And then he mentioned, what was it? He was saying, he was talking about Matthews and how he was hunting Sittler.
Yeah,
and I thought that Matthews was going to score and that we were going to get this all time, where he does get one, an empty netter later in the game. So Chris Cuthbert with, I think, hot the opposite tonight of the announcer's curse, like it's red hot tonight.
Yeah.
But that first period was fun. I will say this about the first, like, credit to the Leafs because they came out focused. They came out with energy. I think that's kind of where you give credit to your coaching staff for having guys prepared after a long layoff. But Carolina, dude, like, if you roll these three goals, Brent Burns with the horrific turnover on the first one. The second one, I think, was all right. It's just like a rush play. They score on their own net, but like you're kind of just trying to scramble play to clear it. That does Holmberg get credit for that goal?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he did, eh?
Yeah, okay, I will say that's a good play by Tavares there to read Brent Burns' mind, but that's an awful decision for him to just blind pass behind your back. That's a I haven't played hockey in 2 weeks. Where I've been on a beach and then I was practicing and I haven't been like in a competition. I can get away with this. This may be the ugliest goal of the season for any team. Like, I just chops one off a defender's butt into the net. So but I remember us having the conversation the last game these two teams played, that they played like this for the first 10 minutes of the game. They were horrible.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a start on time thing. I don't know what Rod Brind'Amour didn't have the best pregame speech or whatever, but thankfully for the Leafs, because I think after the four goals went in, and there's score effects, there's human nature, like there's all that stuff we can get into, but Carolina was far better for, more than half of this game in terms of carrying the play, pucks towards the net, like shot attempts, basically what their general manager loves, they dominated in for the entire second half of this game. But yeah,
yep,
they were awful at the start.
Yeah, they were. And then the Nylander goal that we just scored there is kind of a similar thing where it's like, it's a beautiful play by Nylander, right? Like, but he has so much time and space. And you just see three Carolina Hurricanes players kind of like all go to the same spot, just crowd together around the net. And Nylander's like, yeah, thanks.
This goal is so funny. Just whacking away off the goal line, off your own guys. But if you're watching on YouTube here, the play that I thought that was going to be the last goal that Tavares scores, whatever. But the edge work by Nylander on that play, the where he cuts back, is really, really good stuff. But anyways, Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so what was your biggest positive from this game? Because I think I have two.
I think 2 points is good.
Well, yeah.
coming off that break. Two points are my two biggest positives.
Yeah. The result is good.
I think Anthony Stolarz was brilliant. Even though three entered the net, I thought he was really, really good for most of that game. I'm not going to really fault him for any of the goals that go in. But I mean, that's just me talking about my, you know, my favorite goal in the league. So maybe that's just my bias. I didn't think he was particularly had much of a chance in any of them. And I thought I think Tavares to me, this is a case study for me in what this guy can look like with some time off. And I thought he looked like he had legs. I thought he was making good reads. You'll never do this because he's important to the team and you're still chasing a playoff spot. But if there's ever like a guy with a Mark Stone fake back injury, this is like the guy. And he just come into the playoffs healthy. Like they'll never do it. And they need him for points towards the end. But it's so clear that when he comes off a couple days off or a couple, obviously this is a week, couple weeks off, he's so much better with rest. And he was awesome tonight, I thought. So those would be my two biggest positives, Stolarz and probably Tavares.
Yeah, so I have Tavares as one of them. I thought Nylander was really good with Tavares. Like, just that line in general was really snappy, but a lot of it was to do with just how crisp and fresh Tavares looked. Like, his leg, he had his legs underneath him all night. But I'm kind of throwing this as a little bit of a cheat, but I thought it was just the same thing from him and Chris Tanev. And it's not like Chris Tanev has ever been a problem for this team this season. Yeah. I don't even think, like, man, he's looked worn down at times. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that the two like big veteran guys that they lean on for this team both look like they really had their legs, both look really strong on pucks. How much was Tavares around it in this first period? It just felt every time he was coming over the boards, he was making an impact. He was making great reads. He was skating well. He was getting pucks on net in dangerous spots. So, yeah, I really like Tavares. And then I think number two for me, like, listen, I would have given it to Stolarz, and I do agree with that. And horrible beat and... You know, Morgan Riley back to his same old tricks on that first one. Just I don't know what exactly it is that you're doing, but it's fine. But I don't think Stolarz deserved to give any up tonight. And he had to be so pissed when he saw that pulled goalie and that 4-on-4 happen. He's like, why, Bobby McMahon? Why is right now the time that you're choosing to be a tough guy? Like, you're protecting the shutout. Please don't make this 4-on-4. I really don't love it. Whatever. It's just a goalie thing for me. Like, don't love it whatsoever. Drives me crazy.
I've been crying about this team never being physical, never being the guy was in his face. He was pissed off and he punched him. Yep. It's a 4-on-4.
And it's 4-0. You should be able to protect that lead.
That is the number one time to do it. Like, good for Bobby McMahon.
No, I think that when you're like, it's the last 10 minutes of a hockey game and you're protecting a shutout for your goaltender and you're coming back off the break. Like, that's got to be the only priority for the team is protecting the shutout. Like, I'm just a believer in that. I think that stuff matters. I don't apologize for my love of goaltenders and my belief that that should be the priority. And I just thought, it was a little selfish, but whatever.
Okay.
It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. We can move on.
it's my take. I stand by it. But what I was going to say is Alex Steeves tonight. Like,
yeah, good for him.
This guy's been an AHL all-star, been an absolute epitome of a quad A player, has not had a lot of opportunities. I think he's only played in 11 games before tonight.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Had one assist.
Yeah. I think it's only 11 games, hadn't scored a goal. And frankly, like, my experience with Steve so far had just simply been this, like, when he comes up, I never notice him. Like, he gets 7-8 minutes and it's as forgettable as it gets. It's like create a player stuff, you know, like you just, You don't see an impact in any which way. And I thought tonight in that first period. He came out with real jump, real sense of purpose. Love that he ends up getting that goal, but then also crucial on the play where it's the camp goal, where he forces the turnover. He makes a nice, calm, collected play, turns it. And then, yeah, nice play by Lorenz too, right? Like to actually...
Beautiful play.
You know, take that pax and put it through a couple defenders and find camp. So, yeah, awesome stuff for Lorenz. I hope that he can build off of it because... Yeah, I don't think really anything is set with this bottom six. Like, I'm sure there's guys that they're not going to be able to move off of. But in terms of earning an opportunity, I thought that he absolutely went out and earned another one tonight.
Yeah, you look good. I think he was definitely a guy that's been playing hockey with the Marley. Like, how long has he been up with the Leafs? Since the start of the week? But he probably had been playing some hockey before that when other guys hadn't. He looked hot. He looked fresh. And yeah, that's a guy who shoots the puck in that on that first one. That's a goal scorer's goal. He hammered that top corner. Beautiful goal. And I think he ended up playing just over 9 minutes tonight. If I just quickly check there, he was impactful. And like you said, like, I mean, you know, he's got fresh legs. He doesn't look like Ryan Reeves out there. He doesn't look like Pacioretty out there right now. I think he's just a guy that you can mix in and out when you're trying to give other guys a rest. And when other guys are hurt, you don't want him anywhere near your playoff roster, but for the rest of the regular season, this guy can play another 5-10 games for you, maybe shoot in the net a couple times and be happy with it. This is what you need from your AHL team. You need guys that can come up and contribute a little bit. And like you said, every time that he's come up before, it's been pretty forgettable. It hasn't,
I don't have Alex, one memory.
Yeah, my Alex Steve memories, the list is pretty short, boys. Yeah. So, but good for him tonight. And like you said, they got the jump on him early. And It's you get to have your first goal called by Chris Cuthbert, Hockey Night in Canada. It's awesome. So
yeah,
so good for him. And I hope he gets to make another impact going forward here. Good for him.
Good comment by Irv Blitzer. Just like he's been super important for the Marlies and their offense this season. He's their all-star. Yeah. And frankly, who cares about the Marlies? Like, they've been shut out apparently, according to Irv Blitzer, in the last two games. Like, without
Irv, Steve's. You better be right, because I haven't had a close eye on the old Marlies over
I was gonna say, like, it's real tough with who's down there in terms of trying to
5-0 and 1-0. Apologies to those people who went to that 1-0 AHL game.
AHL game? Isn't that kind of what you sort of expected in an AHL game, though?
2-1 or 1-0.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's kind of like women's hockey where it's like the goalies are so good compared to some of the rest of the players. Yeah. So it's just like, good for Steve's. I'm glad that he got it. I will say this, like, not to pick on a guy right away, but it's like, if you're Nick Robertson, you got to be terrified of this guy coming up and doing anything. And like, the one advantage Robertson has as a guy who still does create, had a couple of opportunities tonight, is that Berube didn't trust Steves in the third period. Like, all those 9 minutes came early. Once the game tilted, he stapled him to the bench and was like, yeah, you're not seeing the ice. So it's not like he's got the big two-way game going for him. Where, like, there's been other dudes like Fraser Minton, for example, where they've been like, hey, we trust your two-way game.
You can have a couple third period shifts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the bar for Steve's to be able to stay in the lineup is that he's going to have to continue to produce at least opportunities and outdo it with Robertson. But I think that's actually like a battle to watch here.
Yep. Robertson, for me, you know, he just had the most Robertson night ever, where he had a couple moments where it's like, oh, but no pucks entered the net.
But it's like his shots, it's like, can you hit the net or not?
Dash one, dash two tonight. So it's just, And I listen, if we're doing the pick on things here, it's just, you know, you really would have hoped the break had done Domi some good, but hasn't.
He took a nasty hit to the head in that game, though. That was like, if you want to do a little bit of, we've had a break. If you want to do a little ref talk, not sure how they missed that one. And then also the penalty that Jarvis drew, I forget who, it was Camp, I think, that got called for the trip. It was like a phantom trip. Yeah. Refs get a little rusty too, I think.
And after an all-time ref performance at the Four Nations, where they've never been better, where it's just like, I guess it has a lot to do with who's playing in the games. There's a lot less butchers, so you don't, but it just, I think if you're watching here, you can see the ref, his angle. He might've got blocked out by four here. See how he's looking back there. He might not have seen what the contact was, but Svechnikov's a nasty guy. He's got a nasty streak in him. I mean, whenever I think about him being a tough guy, I always think about his countryman, Alex Ovechkin, punching his lights out in that fight, which was one of the craziest Russian-on-Russian moments in the NHL in its history.
Wasn't Svechnikov a rookie, too, when that happened?
Yes, like, it was in the playoffs. Yeah. I think it was a playoff game. He just punched him out. But every game the Leafs play against Svechnikov, I'm like, this guy's a really impactful non-Carolina Hurricane type player. Like, you could picture him on like the Bruins, or like, you know, on like a team where like they usually, or like the Flyers, where they like they traditionally have tough guys. This isn't the guy I picture on the Carolina Hurricanes. I thought he was impactful tonight. Around it, nasty, just the same kind of guy he always is. And yeah, that was a dirty one. But let that distract from Max Domi, who unfortunately, like a lot of nights tonight, like a lot of nights this season, was not particularly good. So
yeah,
it's a problem. And we now reunite on Leafs Talk 2 weeks after their loss to Vancouver, saying it's a problem again. It's a problem.
So do you like do you like Bobby McMahon being bumped down? Because I thought Holmberg rewarded, Holmberg rewarded Berube with the play, especially early on. I thought it was a good game for Holmberg.
Sure.
He's a guy that Berube likes him. That's pretty clear. Like, Berube is a Holmberg guy. He's and Kipper. They're the two Holmberg guys that are out there. They got the same love for him. Yeah. But and I thought McMahon actually did have a couple of moments in this game off the rush. Like, he's just such a big, fast player that when he's got it in stride, you really notice him. But that line in general didn't end up, again, doing too much for me. It's such a tough decision that this team has with what they do with Bobby McMahon, because it's like, you put him up in the top six and it feels like you've got all the talent on the top two lines. Yeah. You bump him down, you end up losing him a little bit in the game, but they survive without him. I'm always really torn. You just
need
another,
player.
Yeah.
To play with him on the third line. That's what you need to do. Or you move him up and you get another player to play on the third line. Like, it's just, I love this guy. And I think I've said it 100 times in the show. You lose him a bit when he goes down, and when he goes up with the good guys, he really looks great. So it's what you want. It's what you want from him here. If you're Berube, and like, Holmberg, I just really hope there's not a lot of playoff games that have Holmberg in the top six, but that's my hope and prayer.
I don't think it will. Like, again, credit to Holmberg for tonight, but
he's fine.
I don't think that this is going to be a long-term solution for him. Again, I think that they're just trying to get that third line going, and those three guys are supposed to be able to provide offense. And I will say this, like, to their credit, like, I really, if I've got like a real criticism with Domi, it's like, hey man, I know you're a possession player and you're this incredible playmaker, but sometimes just put it in deep, you know, like sometimes the play is just to live another day, put it in deep, and then don't have your line get crushed in a transition play where you've turned the puck over. And I just saw a bunch of those again tonight where I'm like, God, man, for the love of God, just do it.
Such a great point.
Yeah. It just, like, once in a while, right? Like, just make the decision not to hold on to the puck for too long. But if you really do think about it, those three guys are supposed to be able to provide offense. They had a couple moments. Again, that's the most I've noticed Bobby McMahon playing on that line. Like, he's felt way more lost than he did in this one. Like, at least they had some shifts. They had the opportunity, the one that was like, I'll never be able to say Carolina's goalie name. Like, can you do it?
Vitor Kochetkov.
Kochetkov. Yeah, it's like, I feel like Graves.
I was just going to say, I'm full of Graves. Was this Pokahonsky? I don't know his name.
Whatever. I think it's by far the toughest name in the league.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy that there's a guy on Montreal with an X in his name, and it's like, that's so much easier to say than that guy's name. But anyway, they had a couple. Yeah, I can't do it. I've tried. It just doesn't register in my brain. I can't remember it. I've seen him play multiple times.
There's only one thing harder to say. It's spelling it, brother. Good luck.
Yeah. Oh, no chance. No,
I was going to send you a text about him poke checking. I'm like, I don't know how to text this, so I'm just not going to text you.
You just go, Carolina, not Freddie Anderson goalie. Freddie Anderson was good for Carolina tonight. Again, I thought that they had some flashes, but overall, it's just not good. It just doesn't work. It's not enough offense for what it's supposed to be, and it's clearly not good defensively. Like, it just it feels always like a lost line to me. What's next for you? Anything big from this game?
I don't know if it's a rapid fire or it's a big thing, but I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed in the lack of fanfare around Mitch Marner at the hockey game tonight. I was texting with our boy Drew. I go to the Argos game with him all the time because he was down at the game tonight. I was wondering, like, did they do anything for him tonight?
Yep.
And he said that they did like a little welcome back thing in like one of the commercial breaks. But given
for all three guys though, welcome back.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a welcome back. And it's like, given the gravity of that moment and how prominently featured Mitch Marner was in that moment, that's a pregame thing for me. That's a before the anthems, you say, hey, like, considering the, you know, the perception of Marner in this market and the way a lot of fans feel about him, we know all this stuff. We don't need to go through that. Like, this is a really good opportunity to sort of, you know, build his confidence, have the fans, you know, he's a very rich guy who's had all the chances in the world. I understand it. But coming off maybe the greatest hockey game he's ever played in his career for Canada, setting up one of the big moments of the last 15 years in hockey, not doing anything to me is absurd. Like, I think that's a massive miss. Welcome back. Like, let the fans give him a standing ovation. Like, how is that not? I can't believe they didn't.
I mean, you know why they're not doing it.
Oh, they don't want to hurt everybody's feelings?
Yeah. It's the too hurt bad. Feelings. Bro. Yeah, I know. Too of bad. Course. Like, of course, too bad.
Matthews, but... you lost, buddy. Like, yeah, you're in Canada. Like, what are they afraid? He's not going to re-sign in 4 years? Too bad.
I'm just saying that I think that's the only reason why. Like, if you just look at the way, like, again, the St. Louis Blues, the other teams, like, if you looked at their social medias and the way that they were kind of celebrating some of their players before the games, these are American teams that were really highlighting their Canadian players and giving them a lot of love. And I think that part of it, it has to do with the fact that it's a tough game for Matthews. It's also a game where, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more on my show on Monday, that Matthews is taking quite a bit of heat south of the border.
Taking a beating. I saw the Aaron Judge meme there the other day. It's like Matthews.
Yeah. And a lot of Leaf fans are defending him, and that's fair. Like, again, he had two primary points in the game against Canada, and he was much better in that game than he was the rest of the tournament. But it's like, he's the captain of the team, and he's replacing, like, Patrick Kane as the goal scorer of U.S. record, and he didn't score. And so a lot of casual American fans are hammering for it. And that's like, you know, that's
the way things work.
That's hockey. So I just think that maybe there's a little bit of an added sensitivity around the player, that given the dynamic of the team and that he's the captain. No, I agree with you. I'm not saying that this is right. I just can't think of any other reason why they wouldn't take this opportunity to really blow it out and be like, hey, everyone, here's a chance to love Mitch. Because I was watching did you watch the pregame interview with him and the panel?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
He did great. They asked him about, buddy, he sucks on a microphone. Okay.
Yeah, he's one of the worst Marner's in Leafs history.
Man, there's a video you and I were laughing about during the tournament where it's like him and Sidney Crosby in the van, and they're trying to like film Marner talking, which is so funny because like everybody that plays with him loves the guy. Like, he is such a unanimously popular dude that guys play with. They think he's funny. They think he's fun. And that every time he's put in front of a microphone or there's like a behind the scenes of him, I'm like, he can't get 8 words out without Rickying it. He's just Ricky.
He does have Ricky to him for sure.
He's got a lot of Ricky to it with the way that he speaks. And he puts his foot in his mouth all the time with the media. And like, here he is before the game. And Botterill and Kelly and Bieksa, they're asking him about the play, right? And he's just breaking it down, what he saw and why he used his skate along the boards rather than his stick. And it was something that he works on during the off season and what he saw during the play. And like, he broke it down perfectly and he spoke well. And it just made me go, man, what a likable moment for you. This is great moment. And I think if you're him, God, if he just decided, hey, I'm going to go in the office and I'm going to sign for 11, something that starts with an 11.
Oh my 11.8. God. Buddy, he did have a praise for him.
He'd flip the narrative in the hardest way ever. And I wish there was just a way of getting through to him that this was the case. But part of it is like when he did the stupid, like, we're like gods here thing. The crazy thing is that he hasn't felt that love since what? Year two, year three?
What year was it, like, when they played the Bruins and he blocked those shots?
Right?
Yeah. That was it. Like, since then, basically.
That's when Marner, it was like, Marner got the benefit of, like, pretty much from when he signed that contract, he's been getting crushed in this city.
Yeah.
And here he is with like you're bang on with this take, bro. Yeah. Like, this is the ultimate take. Finally, the fan base gets to celebrate him and nothing. You don't like, and you sure, don't put him up there and go,
I wasn't there. So I don't know what the reaction was to like an inner, like the on the Jumbotron. I don't know what the reaction was, but like, how do you not? There it is. Oh, wow. What a fanfare.
Yeah, that's brutal. Yeah.
Fanfare.
Like, no, it's all got to be together.
It's Hockey Night in Canada. the 2 days after one of the biggest moments that your guy that has been much maligned literally made the best play, kicked it off his skate, the way harder play in the situation was Marner's to McDavid. Like the pass off the skate. And you have this huge opportunity. And I saw someone in the chat, Yusuf, said, "You like, why are we talking about building confidence?" You're right. It's not the confidence thing. It's just the gravity of the moment thing. It's a huge Canadian moment.
Why are we talking about building confidence? No, I'll tell you why we're talking.
I said that, but I said that, and it's maybe not the correct take. But you know,
I think that building confidence for this guy is clear and obvious. Like part of the like when we watched him play that way in that big game was that the coach went to him when he started to play with confidence, and then they scored a goal, and then from the rest of the game forward, he was awesome. Like Marner is absolutely a confidence player.
Okay, did so maybe I forget Montreal. Right. Anyways, I can't believe they didn't do anything. Like, how is it not before the puck drop, before the anthems, be like, you know, congratulations to Austin Matthews and William Nylander for their contribution to the Four Nations and the gold medalist or the Four Nation, like your Toronto Mitch Marner, and like everybody chants and there's a standing ovation. By
the way, I would have expected the same thing. Like if
it was Matthews,
even as painful as it was, if America won, if Matthews had this awesome game and the Americans beat Canada, like celebrate him. Be like, hey, Captain Austin Matthews wins this thing. Like, who cares? It's an NHL event. Celebrate your player. I don't know. I'm with you. I thought about it before the game in terms of what were they going to do for him. I kind of forgot about it as the game went on, but I think your point is spot on. Like, it's a fumble by the Leafs, but
big miss.
Yeah, like when do the Leafs do anything that's not like so incredibly sanitized and it's like
what a big like you literally did a three-person board in a commercial television thing for a guy who set up one of the most crucial goals in Canadian history. What are we doing here?
Who had arguably his biggest game of his pro career.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm sick about it. And like I'm not like and I am the target audience for this. You know my thoughts on Mitch. You know all of our thoughts on Mitch. Like, it's a flawed relationship. It's a flawed 80%, relationship. Yes.
80% of Leafs fans' thoughts on Mitch.
And I have never loved him more than I do right at this very moment. And it's just had an opportunity to strike while the iron's hot, and they didn't. So that's it for me. I don't know anything else.
Yeah. Okay. I got little rapid fire things. Okay. Are you willing to bend the knee on Rantanen? Because it's like, talk bend about a knee? Player that bend the knee.
Oh no, he's just playing with it. He's just no everybody, chemistry.
I'm just
playing
telling
the wrong
you,
team.
Everybody had the mono take, and I proudly stood up like Jon Snow in that meme.
Buddy, it's a little early for a victory. You see Marty Natchez in the playoffs, bud? I just careful.
All the riders. Just careful. I was like, just careful. Yeah, man. I'm not just paying careful. This guy $14 million.
It's careful, and buddy.
Since he's been a Hurricane, it's like, does he have a goal? I think maybe one.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's dash one again tonight. Like one shot on
good.
Net.
He was good tonight. I had noticed him a bunch.
Good tonight. Tell me about his great plays.
I noticed him a lot. He had the puck, a couple spinner. He had a spinner
him,
he's
big.
I just buddy, thought he was. Listen, I didn't think he was one of their worst guys.
Who had one shot on net and was a dash one. What'd you notice,
I'm just telling you. Just be careful, pal. When Marty Natchez is when he's going ghost mode like he does every year in the playoffs. And Rantanen goes whatever team he's going to get traded to, whenever he goes to whatever team he gets traded to, and he starts lighting it up in the playoffs, I promise I won't come back and take an early victory lap in your face like you're doing right now. It's too early.
It's not a one-for-one. And this is what people need to understand. Same thing with the Leafs cap situation. It's not a one-for-one. Mm-hmm. But I'm just telling you that this guy, like I watched him at the Four Nations too. I watched every single game. Like he scored a goal that was a little flutter puck that he muffed that found its way into the back of the net. It's like not a good stretch for him. Like maybe he's rattled because Colorado traded him. But
for sure he is. I'm not at what. How many games he played? Six.
Yeah, seven? Something like that. Six, seven.
Buddy, we do sports talk takes for a living. I'm just surprised. This is a little early for a victory lap. You and I both know.
I'm just saying. I'm just going to keep pointing it out. Like,
listen.
Six games, a goal and an apple, and you got that assist tonight. Like,
through 3 weeks of a trade, you're correct.
Yeah, I sure am. I'm just saying. I just let this be a reminder to people that say that there's no way that you can do anything other than pay guys $14 million. Yeah. And it's like, all right. there's other ways to skin a cat is all I'm going to say. Like, yeah, really tough start for him. Yeah. And by the way, of course, I'm going to celebrate this right now, because if it doesn't go well, then I wasted my time.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm just be careful. That's all I got to say.
I got nothing else. I got nothing else.
We got excited for Chicago, Toronto tomorrow night, buddy. Back to back.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Sure.
Hey, I will say thanks for that first period, Leafs, because I enjoyed, like, I was dreading going into this, being like, how am I going to enjoy this? And they buzzed hard, and I'm like, I love this again. And then it kind of went downhill a little bit. I guess we should probably mention Austin Matthews tied Darryl Sittler for the second most goals in Leafs history tonight.
Yeah.
First goal in a lot of games.
He's ripped so many that it's like,
meh.
Yeah.
Agree. Like,
how many times can I talk about Matthews passing other former Leafs on the goal?
He's going to be the most goal scoring guy forever. Like, it's going to happen soon.
Okay. This is a really bad analogy. Okay.
Easy, my boy.
People are not going to like this, but it's like, it's kind of like the Ovi record now, too. And it's like, Matthews is going to pass Sundin as well. Like, it's going to be an effortless pass of Sundin. It's like, if you've ever had an aging grandparent and they get sick, and by the time they pass away, you're kind of like, I'm a little numb to it because
this is quite an analogy.
I've been sad about this for, months, right? Yeah. Like, they've been out of the hospital. Like, it's been going on. And I feel that way with Matthews with the Leafs goal scoring record, where I'm like, I've already celebrated it. Like, celebrating watching Austin Matthews play and score this many goals all the time in the regular season. Like, we celebrate it when he does the, like, hunt for 60 goals in a season, hunt for 70 goals in a season. Like, that's kind of when we're doing it already, you know? So it's like him passing Sittler, like a guy I didn't watch.
Yeah.
Like, or tying him. I think he just tied him tonight. Right? Or he passed
tied him.
Tied him. Yeah. It's like he's so obviously already been celebrated as the greatest goal scorer in Maple Leafs history. And it's like the difference between him and everybody else is astronomical. You and I have talked about this before, but like, I remember first watching Phil Kessel and his wrist shot and going like, this is the greatest wrist shot I'll ever see. And how many times have I ever thought of Phil Kessel's wrist shot since having Austin Matthews?
It's like he could score 30 when you're talking about Kessel. how deprived we were. Yeah, now we're just like, this guy's ripping 60 a year. We're like, but he doesn't win the playoffs.
We for sure take him for granted at times. I think that he gets a pass at times with other things. Like, it's a complicated player, it's like, it's an awesome moment. I wonder how people are receiving that analogy. You didn't like it?
I mean, listen, I got there. I know what you're saying. I understand.
I should have said like your old cat instead of your grandparent, but you get it.
I got it. How about a plant?
A lot of people not like this.
Okay.
I think it's a good analogy.
The last thing I'll say is, did you see the scrum today about like Kevin McGran asking Matthews about the goal?
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's like, does that one haunt you a little bit? He's like, sure, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, I have one last thing.
It goes back to your take, though, when we had on Canada Talk. You wanted to be mad.
Yeah.
I hope he's mad.
If you want that take, go listen to my podcast, JD Bunker's podcast. You can subscribe to it there, because like, I went through why I think that this is going to be the best thing for the Leafs possible on like a multitude of levels. But last thing for me. Hey, Tavares, just lie. Lie and say you watched the game. Like,
what the hell is that?
Hated that answer so much. Like, and Nylander too. Like, those are your two teammates playing in the biggest game in the league.
It's such a great
watch the game. He's like, oh, I had to get up. You don't know how long these things go. It's like, okay.
It's crazy.
I hated it. I can't tell you how much I hated that Nylander and Tavares didn't watch the end of that game. Like, I don't get it.
Drives me crazy. I totally agree. Yeah. It's such a good take. Also, did you see Berube though?
Yeah.
Berube's like, yes, I watched it. I was so fired up. I couldn't sleep. I'm like, yes, Canadian. Yeah, come on, Berube. Like, that's it.
I don't know. Yeah. I just think if you're like a huge hockey fan, like, don't you want to, like, you think, like, I just saw like Pasternak tweeting, like wishing and dying that he was in this tournament, like watching the games. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like if it's the NBA finals and your star player doesn't want to watch the like game seven of the NBA finals, you're like, what's wrong with you? Like, don't you want to see?
You don't like NBA? Yeah, you don't like basketball? Yeah, it's stupid. I totally agree.
I don't know. I hated it. Anyway, yeah, Tavares, the 32 Chambers says, I'm reluctant to read his tweet because he's one of the haters of my analogy. But yeah, he said JT's pissed he wasn't on the team. And I did wonder that. Like, if he was looking at Seth Jarvis and like,
come on,
thinking, or Konechny and.
I love JT, but is there one moment in that tournament where you're like, I wish JT was here?
No, I don't. No. And
I guess he's like, a competitive guy, so he's going to think he should.
I'm just looking at it through his lens.
For sure.
Like, this is just purely his lens. Okay. He's got to be thinking, so I have more goals and more points barely than Brad Marchand going into that. And he's 2 years older than me. And I'm bigger and I play center, but he's a lock to be in the top six, but I didn't get a sniff. Like, that's what I'd be thinking if I was him. Like, that's all. That's all. So I kind of get it, but I just
watch the game.
I think that's an easy moment for him to be like, I loved watching my teammates compete like that. What a game, what a finish. Like, I went to bed so I could wake up with my kids. I was like, ugh, you're such a dork.
lie about that and lie about your back being sore so they can put you on LTIR and you can feel and you can feel healthy for the playoffs. Those are two lies you need to have. Lie.
Yeah. Lying isn't always bad. Like, that's a good reminder.
I've got myself into a ton of great situations by lying.
Yeah, exactly. Lie and say the show is good. Leave a thumbs up.
Lie and say you like JT's and Alex.
Lie and say you liked all the takes tonight. For the boys, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Buckus, at Sammy McGee. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe, review, do those things, and we'll see you tomorrow night against Chicago.